Thank you.
And now it's my pleasure to introduce John, who will speak on the topic of an unmanaged life. And I am so grateful that John is able to be with us today. And I just really want to welcome him to the meeting. John, it's all yours. And it's 20 minutes. Would you like me to give you any kind of a warning, or do you want to time yourself?
Yeah, you could tell me it's like 5 minutes before, you know, I end. So it's 15 minutes. Just give me a heads up.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Suzanne. I'm John. I'm an alcoholic. And I have alcoholism. And that's important for me to recognize today. This format's a little different than the format that I call my home group, but I'll tell you a little bit about why Suzanne feels comfortable asking me to share, and then I'll speak specifically, I guess, to the topic. I live in Burlingame, California, and Judith apparently lived in San Mateo for a while, and that was kind of a nice, welcoming surprise. I got sober in 1988. I was 33 years old, and I, of course, had reached a bottom with alcohol and drugs. And I had a moment where the night before my first day of sobriety, I was on my knees begging God, asking for help. I couldn't live like that anymore. And a calm came over me, and a calm that I had never known. And there was a sense of well-being and that everything was going to be all right. And I fell asleep, and I woke up in the morning, and I called a woman I knew, and she put me in touch with a guy, and he took me to a meeting, basically, and gave me a big book. And my life changed. It began to change. And I went to a meeting every day for a long time. And he became my sponsor. I did the steps out of the book. And, my life changed in every way. The woman I had called became my wife. We had a daughter. I ended up in a career in an area that I'm an amputee. So I have one leg. And I ended up in a career in prosthetics, which served me very, very well. For 30 years, basically it's sort of the AA story, and everything went very well. I had sponsors and sponsees, I had a home group, I had three or four meetings a week I went to regularly, I had a fellowship, was somewhere, and this is where it gets funny, it's not really that funny, but somewhere around 15 years of sobriety, I was now in business for myself with a partner. I was working 7 days a week, basically, or always had work on my mind. I had my own hobbies. I was still active in AA, but my wife and I were growing apart, and there were some difficulties. I had a cancer experience, and I lost a dog and put down a dog, my mother passed away. There were life things going on, but what was really going on was that I was, my alcoholism, although completely sober and abstinent, was really not being treated by going to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and staying in the middle of the herd and hanging with the winners and all those things, which I was doing religiously and regularly and had been. What really was becoming my AA life was a life that was restless, irritable, and discontent. And, normally people would say something like, well, I stopped going to meetings. Well, that's not my experience. I kept going to meetings. I worked the steps again with another sponsor. I had three sponsors in 19 years. But what really occurred was that I was running the show. I had enough success at home, at work, and in life to know that I could do this, right? So my life was becoming increasingly unmanageable, though, because lack of power is still my dilemma today. And although I would go to God, I was going to myself. I was basically trying to tell this power that had, at one point restored me to sanity and given me a life that I didn't deserve, I was telling this God how things should be done. how the world should be run, how the politics of this country should be handled, how my partner should do his job, how my wife should be a better, you know, better wife, how my daughter should be, you know. I'm totally running the show, and I ran the show into the ground. And at 19 years and 6 months, after going to my home group and having a coffee commitment, you know, I came home basically and said, if this is sobriety, F it. And I walked down the store and bought a pint, a quart of beer, and drank it. And of course, we all know what the allergy to alcohol looks like. And so for the next 2.5 or so years, it was a nightmare. I came back rather quickly, but I couldn't stay. You know, what I really experienced was what the big book talks about when it says that you'll have no mental defense against the first drink. I had never experienced that after having come to Alcoholics Anonymous. And so to talk about the big book awakening, what occurred was I was desperately searching for a sponsor here in the San Mateo County area, and I knew basically everyone, having been around AA for 20 years. And you know, basically it was always the same story, it was always the same information, you know. And and anyway, this guy who I didn't really know that well came down the street one day, and I was in front of a coffee shop, Pete's, with my dog, and he said, hey, I said something about, you know, I was back in again, and although I was in a number of times, I just couldn't stay sober, right? And he said, there's this workshop going on. And I said, I thought to myself, I don't do workshops. I've got all the AA literature. It's all highlighted. I have all the notes. I have, you know, I have 20 years of experience, you know, kind of thing. I knew better, once again, playing God. And a couple days pass, and this young man named Chris comes to the men's group that I'm going to on Thursday night. And he says a few things that catch my attention. And I talked to him after the meeting, and I was really impressed with the quality of his perception of recovery and the unmanageable issues that were being discussed in the room. And so another couple of days pass, and the same guy that I had saw at the coffee shop comes by again. And once again, he says to me something about a workshop. And I'm like, who's the guy? You know, it's like, what workshop? He said, well, this guy, Chris, is hosting this workshop. And it turned out in my mind, it was real clear that the Chris that he was referring to was the Chris that I just saw in my home group meeting on Thursday night. And then it turned out the workshop was 2 blocks from my house. And so that's what led me to BBA. I went in desperate because I couldn't stay sober after having been sober. And I went through the BBA workshop the way, in a way that I had never gone through the steps before, of course. And I'm really grateful for that. And that was in 2011. And since that time, I haven't gone through the steps with anyone or in any format since, although I stay in constant contact with Chris, who was the moderator and the leader of the workshop, who became my sponsor through that process. And I'm really grateful for his experience, strength, and hope, and his understanding and his perspective when I, you know, because for the most part, you know, I'm an alcoholic, and that brings into play a couple things. Primarily, it means that I can't drink alcohol successfully in any shape or form. Any mind-altering drug for me actually is you know, I'm allergic to it. And that'd be bad enough. But the second half of the first step says my life has become unmanageable. And, you know, that is kind of my topic, the unmanageable life. And, you know, I've spent the last 9 years really invested on what alcoholism, the ism part of the unmanageable life, looks like in my life today, and really becoming aware of all the ways that my life can manifest unmanageability when run on self. And that's really what it comes down to, is that, you know, my recovery today is dependent on my rightly relating myself to a power greater than myself. And, you know, I'm trying to do that right now in this moment. And basically, it says we've come to a turning point. And what I've come to know in my own experience is, you know, every hour there's a turning point. Every day there's a turning point. There are turning points throughout the day. And, you know, those are opportunities for me to, you might want to say pause, but to recognize that I am going to self-reliant to myself. I'm relying on self, and in doing so, I'm limiting the opportunities for solution or understanding or acceptance or what compassion, whatever it might be. My alcoholism, really, what it is, and it's I for one believe that, as the book says, we are not cured of alcoholism. What we have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And the question always that I have to ask is, how is my spiritual condition today? This moment, this hour, you know, 5 minutes ago when I was talking to Comcast, you know, or something. And I can tell you it's not always, my spiritual condition is not always good. And that's, you know, I think the human condition. But the book clearly says that liquor was but a symptom and that I needed to get down to causes and conditions. And I'm grateful to have come to an understanding of what I'm truly up against with the disease of alcoholism and addiction, because that awareness allows me in the day I'm in, to try to get perspective on the level or the quality of my spiritual condition. I do believe that any life that I run or try to run on my own will not be a success. My instincts are always going to be somewhat out of proportion. I'm going to want too much. I'm not going to get enough. I'm going to feel insecure about something. I'm going to be threatened in some way. What's going on in the world in a number of ways. I certainly could be threatening to my security. And if I lose perspective, you know, then I'm relying on self, and then I get uncomfortable. And, you know, eventually, if I allow myself to become restless, irritable, and discontent to some degree that becomes overwhelming, I know what can happen as a result of that. So, you know, what I really loved about my experience with Big Book Awakening was that there was a tremendous amount of emphasis placed on, I will call it step zero. I don't think that's what's, you know, the BVA refers to it as, but, you know, it's like, what is this thing I'm up against before I get to step one in all of its manifestations? And that's what I've continued to learn about in these 9 years. You know, I know that today I have an ego that's, you know, infantile still in nature. And the book talks a lot about the need for ego deflation, but I've learned more about my ego and how it typically manifests and how it shapes and forms my perception of situations in the day I'm in. And so I'm keenly aware of what that can look like. And with that awareness, once again, can turn away or turn to a power greater than myself and ask for clarity and ask for direction. You could call it a spiritual malady. I think my perception of that or my understanding of that for my own life today is that I was born with a spiritual malady, you know.
5 minutes?
Thanks, Suzanne.
5 more.
Thanks. I think I was born with a spiritual malady, and maybe some of us can relate to that. In other words, there was a feeling of not being connected and being, you know, not being welcome, not feeling a part of, you know, whether in home and family, but also at school and social circles and those sorts of things. And, you know, I will tell you that at age 12, when I took my first drink, real drink, to get drunk, and I came out from under the bleachers here at Burlingame High School at a football game, the whole world had changed. Everything was, the colors were brighter, the lights were brighter, the sounds were more intense, you know. And as Bill said in his story, I had arrived, and that experience was the experience that sealed the treatment for my alcoholism. Alcohol is the simplest, cheapest, most effective over-the-counter drug I can get that treats that spiritual malady. And like I said, you know, I have an allergy to that, and there's no using it with any safety or success. So I have to take responsibility for the fact that drunk or sober, my life is unmanageable by me and always will be. That's how I perceive it. That's just my understanding at this point. And I take that into step two, you know, with a mind that's open enough to recognize that, you know, there is a power greater than me. I've seen it in so many ways in my life. I've recognized it in my first sobriety many times, and particularly in these last 9 years, which I'm really grateful for. I certainly, you know, don't in any way deserve this second chance. But, you know, as a result of being, let's just say, coerced into an open mind, to walk 2 blocks to Chris's house and sit through the VBA orientation and then get the workbook and do the work, get a big, big book. I'll never forget, Chris said to me, I have my beautiful third edition big book, you know, with all the different highlight colors and all the notes and all the dates and all the things. And I said, Chris, can I use this? And he's like, well, why don't you just set that book and all that experience aside and we'll just start all over. And, you know, that's the open-mindedness that I'm grateful to God to have had in those moments, you know, when presented this opportunity to do this work in this manner. And a lot of really beautiful things have taken place in these, excuse me, there's going to be a little noise here. A lot of beautiful things have taken place in the last 9 years. And it's involved, of course, the opportunity to be of service and to experience and express love. Today, I'm in a relationship, you know, with a woman that's in recovery, and we've been together 8 years. And I've never known that, you know, this level of communication, of intimacy, of friendship, of sharing of values, and a way of life that's, you know, that gets better really every day. But it's not, you know, and also opportunities to be of service and to share this experience. And, you know, I'd say the one area that's most unique is that I've had opportunity to work with a number of men who've had lengthy sobriety and then relapse. And unfortunately, that story is way more common than I think AA or anyone would be willing to admit, that people with 10, 20 years or more of sobriety have relapsed. And the question is, how does that happen and why? And I think the answer is, you know, basically leads to the topic that I described, which is, you know, untreated alcoholism or an unmanageable life sober. And, you know, the inability to recognize that in oneself and then treat it with a power greater than self. So I think that's enough. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so, so very much for just an absolutely wonderful share. Thank you. It's really, really wonderful to hear you and just to hear your experience, strength, and hope.
Thanks, Suzanne.
So, Judith, will you stop the recording?